Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. I want to tell everybody at 520, former college coach and now chief NBA scout Mark Cook will join us to talk about the NBA draft. That'll be here tomorrow. Charlie and Steve Geller will have a special three-hour show from 6 to 9 at the Pelicans facility, giving you all the information and seeing if they actually keep those two first-round picks and what they do with those selections. So we'll have Mark on, and certainly tomorrow night, an extended version of Sports Talk. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. Can you tell me if the late, great Jerry West was a member of the Warriors when they traded Poole to Washington? Do you remember that? Can you check? Because to me, that's important. Jerry West, to me, is by far, like, I could count on less than one hand who I would compare him to in any particular sport.
So, James, I'll let you know right now, with Golden State, he was there from 2011 through 2017, and then he was on the Clippers in their front office from 2017 through 2024. Jordan Poole was on the Warriors team that won it in 2021, 2022. So, yeah, it was after they traded Jordan Poole after Jerry West had already moved with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing is, they traded him, but they traded him to Washington. Again, like I told you, Charlie, that's my old stomping ground, my
right.
Second home. But they traded him to Washington so he could be the leader. And he dropped the ball big time. Actually, when he got into that scuffle, it wasn't even a scuffle. Draymond slapped him in the face. He kind of took a lot of his confidence away, I think, on and off the court. But he needed to get that move, and he had a chance to display his talents, not only as a basketball player, but just as to show some leadership and maturity in Washington. He failed miserably. He took a lot of shots. You know, he averaged 18 points last season, but, you know, that was the reason why, you know, part of the reason why that they stunk, because they paid him a boatload of money, and he didn't really live up to that. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is, you know, I'll miss C.J. McCollum. He was one of my favorites, actually my favorite that was on the team at the time. But we were without leadership here as well. We don't have any leadership here. I know I don't want to keep talking about Zion. I know.
No, but James, James, you're right. His professionalism and his leadership skill.
He was Mr. Consistency.
But, you know, Cullen and I were talking about this, I think it was Thursday, that we knew that with his age and sort of the new sheriff in town, he was going to get traded either before the draft or on draft night. He wasn't going to be part of this new run. That was an easy card read with CJ. But I agree with you. His leadership skills, his professionalism, how he handled himself in the community, on and off the court, you could not ask for anybody better than CJ McCollum. But, you know, with Poole, you sort of rolling the dice on a guy who's been wildly inconsistent. Wildly inconsistent.
Yeah, with CJ McCollum, as we kind of mentioned in the first hour, we thank him for his time in New Orleans. He was a pro's pro, Mike. And Mr. Consistency, as I mentioned, he played all these games while you saw B.I. and Zion missing a bunch of time. He was always meant to be the third best player on that team when they traded for him, Mike, when David Griffin made the move to bring him to New Orleans. And it's just like he never had the two stars of the team healthy with him to go on any kind of a deep playoff run. And so with the Washington Wizards and making this move, the reason it makes sense for them and the reason I think that they're going to likely keep CJ McCollum, obviously he's an expiring contract, so the Wizards are set up for 2026 to have all this cap space. But they have a young core in place with Bilal Coulibaly, with Alex Sarr, who they took second overall last year, and then they have the sixth overall pick this year. Mike, we just talked about how we think Ace Bailey is going to potentially slide.
Could well be there.
Slide to them at pick six. And if they scoop him up, they're going to have another young piece to this kind of core that they're building for their future. And CJ McCollum coming in, not, I don't want to say it's like a babysitter, but as a guy that's been there, done that, to teach these young kids how to be professionals, right? And that's why I think the value that he brings to Washington and the future of their franchise is kind of showing them the way as kind of a veteran leader, kind of joining, as I mentioned earlier, with Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk also going there as well, that the Washington Wizards, they have these young pieces that are very enticing, likely potentially adding Ace Bailey to that core as well, who by all accounts is typically considered the third best player in this draft class. The issue is how his agency has handled this pre-draft process. He could be there at pick six. So they have all this young talent. They just need the kind of veteran leadership to teach them how to be NBA players.
Charlie, his agent is doing what he thinks is right for him to put him in a spot where he becomes an instant player. Instant what he feels impact player. That's why he's done all this foolishness. Again, I've seen it before. I've been around agents all my life for the last 40 years.
Right.
They try to set up a player to go to specific teams that they know that they can immediately start with and immediately make an impact with. It okay, that's an easy deal there. He did not want him to end up in Philly.
No, absolutely
did not want that. And he did everything he could to make sure the 76ers weren't going to pick him. Now, if does a team maybe trade up to three to pick him? I don't know at this stage because he's taking a little tumble. But how far is a little tumble? You know, two or three picks or one pick? Who knows? But his agent did exactly what he thought he could do. Get him to fall a little bit and fall to a team that he knows he can play with and instantly make an impact. And CJ going to Washington, I think, gives them that veteran leadership
yes.
that they solely lack on this team.
Mike, to your point about Ace Bailey as well, when Jonathan Givony put out the team names, right, where he mentioned Washington, he mentioned New Orleans, and he mentioned Brooklyn as the teams that Ace Bailey was interested in going to, via his, you know, once again, his kind of representation, right? That exactly backs up what you're saying. This kid, the team behind him wants him to go to a spot where he can get up as many shots as possible, as many yep. minutes as possible, right off the bat from day one. That's why Philly isn't going to be interested in him at pick three, because he's already kind of declined the workout there. To a lesser extent, like San Antonio at pick two, these are teams that have kind of the young pieces already in place that they want to be getting up all these shots. With a team like Washington, with a team like Brooklyn, to a lesser extent New Orleans, you're going to see a much increase in minutes. And that's why, even though he's the third best player in this class, he's going to slide in this class potentially to six. And I think if he's there, Washington's going to scoop him up.
The other thing, too, is, and we get texts about it, what about Sadiq Bey? Well, here's the deal. He hadn't played in almost 2 years. I really can't tell you. Now, I saw the early Sadiq Bey, who was a good player.
Really good player.
But he's coming off the Achilles injury. And, okay, I just hope that team doctors have taken a good look at that. And sometimes it takes a while to come back off of that Achilles injury. And, man, we've seen now two big-time stars go down with it. And Jason Tatum and then Halliburton goes down.
Yes.
With it. So that's not the easiest injury in the world to come back from, especially from a basketball standpoint.
So I will say this, Mike, it was an ACL tear. It wasn't the
ACL tear. Yes. Excuse me. Yes.
So he suffered that when he was with the Hawks in 2023, 2024. But early on in his career, to your point, this is a guy that got up a lot of shots, especially from 3-point range, and made a lot of them too. He's got a value on this team if he can be 90% of the player that he was pre-ACL tear, Mike. And I think Troy Weaver, once again, as we discussed earlier, has a connection with him from Detroit when they traded for him in 2020 after the draft. He was selected by the Nets and then traded over to the Detroit Pistons. And then the Hawks made a move for him as well. The Wizards made the move. That's kind of the Weaver connection once again. And then, yep. you know, you bring him in. He didn't end up playing for the Wizards because he was still rehabbing from that ACL tear. But once again, this is a guy that can average about 15 points per game on a good 3-point shooting percentage, good
if
field goal.
If he's healthy.
Yes, exactly. That's that we got to preface it with that. But in the first 3 years of his career, he even the fourth year before he had the ACL tear in March, this guy was available. I mean, he played 82 games in 2021, 2022, 70 games in his rookie year where he finished fourth in rookie of the year voting, 2022, 2023 combined to play for 77 games, and then in Atlanta pre-ACL tear, 63. So the availability was there before the injury, but it's a guy that can put up about 15 points per game for you. He's going to be a key bench piece for this team as one of those players that can back up Trey Murphy and Herb Jones as a wing. I really, really like the pickup, especially if he can be, once again, about 90% of the player that he was in Detroit and later Atlanta.
Yeah, Achilles, ACL injury. Man, some people can come back from that quicker than others. But that ACL injury, that is a nasty injury to come back from sometimes. And especially when you're a basketball player. Again, just like the Achilles injury, it is a difficult injury to come back from. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, you in the kind of target zone with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, all right, Jimmy?
Hey, yeah, look, excited about the draft. CJ did a lot of great things for the city and the team. And
he sure did.
True professional. We paid him a lot, and it just didn't work out the year we brought him in. It was like we were primed for a run, and everybody's getting hurt. And, you know, again, we have to really examine the medical staff. And I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but I think Deonte Murray's recent interview – Charlie, you can maybe pull it up and play. He called out the Pelicans franchise and said, look, if y'all want to be professional, you got to treat the players in the proper way. That's from the medical staff to the nutrition. I don't see that as a bad thing if he's rehabbing and all that, because we have too many players getting hurt, not only with the Pelicans, but also with the Saints. And Gail Benson needs to prioritize this at all costs, whether it be issues with the medical staff or just, you know, because he basically said in the interview, after my injury, they were all ears to help me out, but it was too late.
Right.
And before that, he felt like nobody was answering his, you know, requests on certain things, and he could see why there's not a basketball culture here. I don't see that as being a bad thing. I think a leader says that, and hopefully she gets the message. But I do see Ace Bailey falling down to us. The question is, what do we do? And what would you guys do? My question to you guys is this. What would you guys do if he's sitting there at 7?
Pick him. I'm not passing up on him. I'm picking him. I know you need what you want to call a legit big man. No, I'm picking Ace Bailey.
You gamble on the talent. I'm with you, Mike. I don't think he'll be past Washington. I think Washington made this trade in part because they're going to be selecting Ace Bailey at 6. But I will tell you this as well. If Joe Dumars decides to pass on Ace Bailey, there is no chance he's falling past 8 in Brooklyn, a team that desperately needs some type of star power. But I'm with you. Like, you gamble on the talent if he's there at 7. I don't think he will be there at 7 ultimately, but you have the extra first-round pick that you could use on a big man, the second-round pick that you could kind of gamble on a big man as well if you really wanted to. If Ace Bailey's there at 7, I know I've kind of made the comp of him to Brandon Ingram. Other people have kind of shared that comparison as well. Just watching his tape, you can see the reasons why people are skeptical of Ace Bailey and his projection at the NBA level. But at the same time, the ceiling is there. And it's mouthwatering with Ace Bailey. If he can just kind of develop some more consistency, because that was one of the main issues with him at Rutgers. If he can develop the consistency to play night in and night out at the NBA level, he could be a star and a multi-time all-star. And that's why he's the third best player in this class, because he's only behind Cooper Flagg, who's got all NBA projections, and Dylan Harper, who his projection is like a Cade Cunningham, and we saw what Cade Cunningham did with the Detroit Pistons this past year. So, okay. Ace Bailey, yes, I agree with you, Mike. If he's there at pick 7, the Pelicans should bring the card up and take him.
Yeah, because for me, maybe a couple weeks ago, there were a lot of national writers that were saying that the Pelicans were going to have to trade to the 3 spot for Ace Bailey, and he falls to you?
Yeah.
And you didn't have to give up anything to get him.
Right. I mean, that's what we had talked about last week when the Pelicans made the trade for 23. It's just like, oh, they're planning something else. They're planning on making a move up the draft to make sure that they can secure Ace. But at the same time, he might be sliding, Mike. And maybe you do still decide to trade up, right? And you just make the jump from 7 to, let's say, 5 instead of, you know, 7 to 3. It's obviously going to be a lot less expensive.
Right.
But, I mean, getting Ace, if he's there at 7, yes, you take the swing. But ultimately, Mike, I don't know if you trade up for him. That's kind of my reservation.
We'll see. And you'll get to tell us all about it tomorrow night right here on the Big 870 WWL. When we come back, Mark Cook will join us here, NBA scout, talking to us about the players available for the 2025 NBA draft, and also a little bit about the trade that was made today with C.J. McCollum going to Washington and Poole coming to New Orleans. We'll have all that and more right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, former college basketball coach, now NBA scout Mark Cook. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Mark, I'm not going to ask you who's going to be the first pick in the draft. We all know that one pretty good. But the guy's getting just as much ink has been Ace Bailey. And you know, you and I have seen this before where agents, agencies sort of maneuver players around to try to put them in a certain spot. They want him to be on a certain team and not on other teams. Where eventually, one, I'm going to ask you, how good of a player you think Ace Bailey is? And secondly, where do you think eventually he ends up? Because when you look at it, he would most certainly look to be the third selection in his draft. I wouldn't bet a nickel that he'll be the third pick in the draft.
I would not bet either. a couple of things about Ace Bailey. He's not 6'10", he's 6'7". That's a big drop from what he was listed in college when he got the official measurement from the NBA. Also, you know, everybody's talked about it with him and Harper. You have two lottery picks on a college team that not only could not get to the NCAA tournament, they could not get to a winning season. Those things are kind of red flags to me. But he is a young talent, and he's an 18-year-old talent. And I was listening to you and Charlie speak earlier, and they talk about, well, he's there, we got to pick him and everything. I'm like, do we need another 18-year-old in the Pelicans? That's just my take on it. I do like the guys they did get in the trade, Bay and Poole, only because Joe's right-hand man, Weaver, had a chance to see those guys play for a year when he was in Washington last year. So he knows those guys. And I think that's something that you can't discount.
Gotcha. Mark, if they would go with a big man, because, boy, this team is really short on that part. And I'm talking about a legit big man. With the seventh overall pick, where do you think kind of maybe a couple players in that region you think would be there?
I still like big guy from Michigan. The more I get to see him play, Wolf, he's a seven-footer, legit seven-footer. And he watches film, he's running the pick and roll. Not the guy rolling to the basket, the ball-handling guy at 7 foot. And if you look at what the Pelicans need, and I learned this a long time ago from some great coaches like Pete Newell and Hubie Brown, when you're building a program, you have to build it to beat the top teams you're playing against. And now when you look at the division, forget about the Western Conference right now, just the division, the big guys that the Pelicans will have to go against night in and night out, Houston, Memphis, Dallas, and Spurs, they got to get a big guy who can play offensively. And that's why I'm kind of, you know, down on Bailey, because he's only 6'7". At 6'7", in Houston, can he guard Steven Adams, Sagoon, Jared Smith, KD? And then you have Dallas, Anthony Davis, Cooper Flagg. Then you have the Spurs, Wembley. And the rumor is that the Spurs might go with a big man in the second pick. They might go after Malagat. So that's where I'm looking at where the draft is going and especially what the Pelicans have to do.
That would be a shocker, Mark. I mean, we'll see what happens on draft night, but I wanted to actually ask you about Malawach because, I mean, you talk about a 7'2" big man. He's from like South Sudan, and the wingspan 7'7". He's just like built like a condor. And, you know, sometimes not every 7-footer is built the same way. Malawach has, you know, kind of a smaller torso and compared to his legs. He's got these really long legs that kind of build up that height to 7'2". He's a legitimate rim-protecting, rim-running big man. And I know that they drafted Misi with the 21st overall pick last year, and Misi had a really good rookie campaign with the Pelicans. But you mentioned it. With the Western Conference, you need two big men. And whether that be Danny Wolf, who's got the really advanced offensive game, or Kaman Malawach, who, you know, could be a potential core piece or a core building block for any defense in the NBA if he reaches the ceiling and potential at that level. I just want to get your thoughts on Kaman Malawach.
Well, to me, he was like Misi. The only difference was I heard that in his workouts and in the combine, he shot the ball from distance very well, which surprised a lot of people because he didn't do that at Duke. He was an inside player because of Cooper and the guards they had, Proctor, rest of those guys shooting the ball on the perimeter, so they didn't need him to go out on the perimeter. So that was a surprise. If I had a chance to see him work out shooting the ball, I'd say yes, let's take a shot on him because the internationals come in with a different mentality. They come in with a little bit more hunger to get out there and get it done and be professional athletes.
You know, you brought up Danny Wolf as well, and talking about shooting big men, I've heard, you know, multiple different reports that he impressed a ton of different teams in pre-draft workouts with his ability to shoot the ball. I know that he's got the ball handling as well. I think he was a guard in high school before he hit like a growth spurt. You know, the same thing happened with like Anthony Davis, right? And that's why he had a good handle. Danny Wolf also has a good handle as a 7'1" big man for Michigan. But do you think there's any potential? Because I've seen some different mocks that have him kind of in the middle of the first round. The Pelicans have that second first round pick at pick 23. Is there any chance that he not only just falls out of the lottery, but he could be there for their second first round pick?
I think there's a chance, but you know, because of his workouts. Now, I hadn't heard reports on his workouts and stuff. I've just watched him play at Michigan and then go back and look at some tape on him. And, yes, I know he can shoot it from three. You know, he's got a high basketball IQ because he spent the first 2 years of his career at Yale before he went to Michigan. So, you know, he's got some smarts. And just to watch him play out there, you know, everybody likes to run the pick and roll in the NBA. So, and I think what also the Pelicans need with a big man is they need a big man to play outside because if you're going to keep Zion, you have to play with the lane open so Zion can get to the basket, you know. And a big man that can shoot it where you have to go out and guard him, that leaves the lane open for Zion, and especially if you play him at the point. You know, he can just get to the basket with as strong as he is and – you know, you got to have people out there that have to be guarded playing with him.
Mark, every year this happens. Give me a name of a guy that goes much higher than we might think and a guy who takes the real slide. Now, I'm not talking about just two or three picks. I'm talking about a guy who really takes a slide in this draft. I'm talking about 8 to 9, 10 picks back.
Oh, wow. Oh, That's a good one. Cedric Cowan, I like from Washington State. He's had great workouts in the combine. Long arm span, tremendous athlete. He was impressive where at one point people were talking about him being a lottery pick. But now I see he's down to like 16, 17. I'm trying to think Colin Boyle from South Carolina. He's only a sophomore, tremendous athlete, tremendous defender, played well during the year. And there's a couple of internationals. I had a chance to see Noah Torre play, point guard from France, played on the under 18 national team. Same thing. They thought he was, you know, I saw earlier mock drafts where they had him in the top 10, but he has dropped down to 22, 24 So those are the ones I would say off the top of my head that I can think of that would drop down.
Mark, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke with Matt Babcock about this, and he brought up Trey Johnson and talked about him as a gym rat, the freshman out of Texas, shooting guard, kind of a comp of like maybe a Tyler Hero, you know, higher end floor of like the elite shooting guards, like a Devin Booker type of guy, ceiling, I meant, not floor. I want to get your thoughts on Trey Johnson because he was a tough shot maker, tough shot creator, good shooter. You know, you watch his tape, he's got a good handle. I know the kind of quote unquote play strength is a little bit of the question with him because he's below 200 pounds at about 190 at 6'5". But I want to get your thoughts on Trey Johnson. I think he's a really enticing prospect, but a lot of times you'll see him go in top five. But if he could potentially slide, I think he'd be an enticing option for the Pelicans at seven.
Yeah, because he's a guard, a guard with a lot of athletic ability. Like you said, he can make tremendous shots. You know, there are two people guarding him. He can go up between them and score. Even though he's slight at 6'5", I like the way he played in Texas. You know, he has no hesitation. When he's open, he's going to raise it, knock it down, and he's going to do it with a lot of confidence for a freshman. So, you know, if I was a team and needed a perimeter player, he would be at the top of my list.
Mark, I hear it a lot. How the hell do the defending NBA champs have the 15th, 24th, and 44th overall picks in this draft?
And they're trying to trade up into the top 10, reportedly, Mike. They have the ammunition to do it, too. It's ridiculous.
That's unbelievable. Oh, on one of the youngest rosters in the NBA, and now you got three picks that you can maneuver around. That, man, what a great job they've done to set this up.
Yeah, they've done a great job. The two teams that played in the championship, salary-wise, were number 18 and number 25 out of 30 teams. So I could see them trying to get a young rookie on a rookie contract. Because everybody's afraid of the first apron, second apron luxury tax right now. You know, because there's no more building teams with three superstars with the CBA they have in place right now. So I could see them easily doing that. You know, because they've done a good job with not only signing talent, but watching their salaries.
Mark, last one for you. I wanted to ask you about Konka Knipple, who feels like he's flying up draft boards. Everywhere you look, you see him going fourth overall to Charlotte. You know, I think we've talked to you about him. We've talked with a couple different people. And the word that keeps coming up with him is like super high floor. Also a connective player. Like he may not ever be the star, you know, superstar number one option on a team, but he's a damn good third option or a solid two option, something like that. Knipple's a really fascinating prospect for me, the wing out of Duke. I wanted to get your evaluation of him.
Well, Knipple, I like his size. And, you know, he's 6'4", he's almost 220. 6'5", and 220. The new term is called the super wing. And usually that's a 6'7". Or taller wing player that plays in the league now, called a super wing. And they believe even at his size at 6'5", he would be labeled that because he's sneaky athletic. He's smart. He knows how to get his shot in offenses. And that always translates in the NBA. You know, you're looking at, oh, what are we running for the guy that's the all-star pick on our team? Where can I get my shot within the stuff that we're running for him? And when guys go to the league and figure that out, those are those guys that stay in the league 10 years easily, especially if they can knock down shots.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Hey, listen, we're going to get you back on when we can actually talk about the real McCoy picks. Not the
yeah,
ones,
no more
not the ones with the you write, you know, with the eraser, you know, the real McCoy picks.
Yes, yes. No problem.
Thanks Mark.
Very much.
Thanks so much. Mark Cook does a great job covering the NBA, former college coach. We'll be back with our Bet 365 triple option feature right after this break.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long, joined by Steve Geller. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steve, you first.
Guys, I'm going to leave things off with some football talk. Aaron Rodgers signed a one-year $13.7 million deal with the Steelers back on June 7th. He was on the Pat McAfee show today and was asked, is this going to be his final year in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
Old man Rodgers, guys. Well, the Steelers, we know, finished 10-7 last season, made the playoffs. Can he help them back to the postseason this year? I know everyone's got that question, how much he's got left in the tank. I am curious to see what Rodgers can do, and I'm just sad that, unfortunately, the Saints don't have a matchup against the Steelers this season.
Yeah, I'd like to see it myself, but I'll be honest with you. The way he played late last season, I was impressed the way he threw the football. Now, early on, you could tell him coming off the Achilles, you know, his setup, his
little
delivery.
Rushed, right.
It was a little awkward, and he couldn't really move well. But as the season went along, man, he threw the football pretty well. And he could always hum it. Man, nobody can question. That dude could throw a football like very few people that have ever put on a helmet and a pair of shoulder pads.
Guys, we have a breaking trade. This isn't going to be my triple option. I just want to throw this out there.
Dun, dun,
Boston,
dun.
Atlanta, and Brooklyn are finalizing a three-team trade. This is via ESPN's Shams Charania that sends Kristaps Porzingis and a second-round pick to the Hawks, Terrence Mann and an Atlanta's number 22 pick to the Nets, and George Niang and a second-rounder to the Celtics. The Nets have like five picks in the first round this year now, guys. I know that it's interesting.
Keeping all that.
You would imagine that they're going to try and package some of it to move up, but I mean, the Nets, if they do keep it, they're just going to be flushed with young talent if they hit on these draft picks. We'll just have to see what they decide to do. But Kristaps Porzingis being sent from Boston to Atlanta, we expected Boston to be pretty active in the trade market this offseason. They already traded Jrue Holiday to Portland earlier today, and now sending Kristaps Porzingis in a three-team trade that lands him with the Hawks, and then also Brooklyn getting the number 22 overall pick in this year's draft. Guys, my triple option segment, I want to go with something that Will Guillory, friend of the program from The Athletic, had pointed out earlier. Since the Pelicans moved on from Kelly Olynyk in the trade with Washington earlier today, they only have two centers under contract, Eve Misi and Carlo Matkovich. And Will Guillory adds in this tweet that adding more size to this roster will be a major point of emphasis in the coming weeks. I'll say the coming days. I think that they're going to take a big man with at least one of those three picks. They own pick 7, pick 23, and pick 40 in this year's draft. We talked with Mark Cook about Kamen Malawach, Danny Wolf. You know, he's come on here earlier and talked about Derek Queen from Maryland as well. You can expect the Pelicans to address the big man position with at least one of those three picks, I would imagine.
You know, one of the things we talked about last night with Scott Sanders, and I talked to a couple of Major League Baseball scouts today, and they tell me what Mark was saying last night. Scott was saying last night is correct. There's some debate in some corners here on who will be the first overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft coming up pretty soon. That Ethan Holliday, he's got some genetics now because of his dad, his cousin, brother, the whole shooting match. Going up against Cade Anderson to be the first overall pick. And we know Cade's going to be the first college player pick, but this is also money involved. And it'll be interesting as it goes along. It's kind of a split decision from the people I've talked to. They feel as though Ethan Holliday may well edge out Cade Anderson in the long run. It just depends on who can cut the deal quickest. Okay, that's the way it works in the major leagues. Who can cut that deal the fastest? So right now, Cade Anderson, Ethan Holliday, kind of vying to be the first overall pick in the 2025 Major League Baseball draft. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long. and Steve Geller. Steve, tell everybody what's happening between 6 and 8 tonight.
Yeah, 6 o'clock hour, we're going to get more into some LSU baseball. They're an 8th national title. Review that with Glenn West. Also, look about what's going to be coming with this 2026 roster for the Tigers. And then our friend of the program, Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA Insider, joining us 7 o'clock hour. All things draft and the NBA trade deadline. Well, not trade deadline, but all the trades going on today ahead of the draft. We'll get into all that and also some Pelican stuff.
We'll be back right after this news break on the Big 870.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.